Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, who's engineering and producing our program. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Tuesday, December the 12th, 2023. We're in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio, on the campus of Bustos Media, where we have five radio stations under one roof right now. And this one you're listening to is 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Trusted voice, in fact, for local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, which is buckmastershow.com. Not only can you listen to the program live, but all of our podcasts going back to the first week of January 2011, when we launched the project, available for you at buckmastershow.com. For our telephone interviews, of which we will have a couple today, kvoi.com, along with buckmastershow.com, and, of course, the live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go on the live line. Jeffrey Hawkins. Jeff Hawkins is the president of the Arizona Troopers Association. His members are members of the Highway Patrol, and Jeff joins us on the live line. Jeff, how are you?
Doing well. Nice to be with you.
You know, I looked at these numbers that you and the team sent me about staffing. I'm quite honestly shocked. I don't know. Situations in some of the areas, like here in southern Arizona, look pretty bleak. Give us the overall big picture. How is staffing for the Arizona Highway Patrol right now, Jeff?
Staffing is currently at history. We broke the record here. We currently have almost 500 vacancies in the agency when it comes to our troopers. It's the highest we've ever recorded. We are at staffing levels. Everywhere needs troopers. We're in crisis state, and we're like I said, the highest levels we've ever seen when it comes to our vacancies and the amount of folks that we have actually patrolling our freeways.
Looking at the percentages of the openings, you're down then in terms of percentage. You're down about at least 25%, correct?
Those are conservative numbers. You know, our total staffing is 1,500. So one-third of our agency is not staffed. So the numbers that are provided to the legislature, they only show the funded positions, and we have almost 200 positions that the government's always used to pay for things within the agency. So 309 funded positions are unfilled, and we have the remaining almost 200 that are unfilled also. So it's almost 500 vacancies.
Jeff Hawkins of the Arizona Troopers Association, heading up that association, with us on the phone. And Jeff, as all of our listeners know who've driven this state, it's a big state, and you're dealing with very few troopers on the street. Okay, how did we get in this situation? Why are we down so many troopers?
You know, I think there's probably a few reasons why. Historically, we've always been slow to be paid. We went almost 11 years without a pay raise recently. And then we saw some increases, but when we started our work at the legislature, we were 28% behind market. The governor gave us some bumps under Ducey, but then everybody else still had their market adjustments. And then, you know, the demonization of law enforcement by the media and by some of the public has not helped. And then, you know, really what people look at when they get to it is they say, hey, do I want to do this job for this kind of money? And it has deterred a lot of folks. And for you folks in southern Arizona, we don't have anybody on the freeway outside of Tucson after 1 o'clock in the morning. So there is no coverage on your freeways. So it's the same in northern Arizona. I-40 is completely dark when it's dark. And don't think the cartels don't know that. Don't think that people that are doing nefarious things don't know there are no troopers out at night. And the numbers prove it. You just don't see any troopers.
I'm amazed. I did not know this. If I heard you correctly, after, I think you said, 1 a.m, there are no troopers on the freeways in southern Arizona. Is that what I heard you say?
Other than Tucson. You picked the town. Benson, Wilcox, Nogales, you pick it. If you roll your car, or if you see a wrong-way driver, or you see an impaired driver on the roadways, we have to wake a trooper up to respond in the middle of the night. And we used to have 24-hour coverage, but they had to make some hard decisions, and we didn't want guys working – I say guys, our troopers working all by themselves, covering 150 miles of freeway all by themselves with no backup. So the numbers just prove that we can't have 24-hour coverage. And if I could, I'll make a like. You know, the state of Washington is about the same size population and roadways.
Yeah.
But they have 1,100 troopers patrolling the freeways, where we have 500. So you don't make investments in the Department of Public Safety, and this is what happens. We're at crisis level now.
Well, it sure sounds like a crisis level to me, and I think our listeners are hearing this. I think it's pretty darn shocking. And as part of it, is it pay? Are pay scale comparable to, like you mentioned, Washington? Are we quite a bit lower?
When we talk about the Western United States, when we talk about state polices, highway patrols, we're considerably behind. All of those states have collective bargaining rights and have the ability to sit down and discuss pay, where we have to go to the legislature. And if it just isn't on the agenda, then we just don't get a pay raise. And so you think about where we are. We're number 12 when it comes to pay in the state of Arizona. And so when you're an agency with as many responsibilities as the Department of Public Safety has, you're going to run into what we have. I mean, we also not only do highway patrol, we also do criminal interdiction. We have criminal investigations. We protect the governor. We have search and rescue. I mean, we have, the list goes on and on of the responsibilities that we have, but no substantial investment in the agency. So we have to work on pay. And the other one is the newer pensions are not desirable for troopers. The pension that I have, which they went away from, was a lot more desirable. So they're wanting our guys to work longer. And in this career field, working longer is not really feasible to say you're working, fighting guys on the side of the freeway at 55, 56, 57 years old. So, It has caused a bit of a backlash. And bottom line is, when folks are looking for a police job, they're going to start at number one pay, and they're going to work their way down. And being number 12, that's quite a ways down on the list.
It really is. Well, Jeff, I'm really glad we could shine a little light on this problem. And we've got the legislative session being gaveled into session the second week of January. I would think we've got to find a solution to this. This is a public safety big-time hazard.
I agree with you, Bill. You think about it. We have a huge problem at the border. And I know this governor is concerned about the border and wants to deploy assets down there, but we literally can't help the mission because we don't have the troopers we can spare to send down there. You know, Phoenix, we have over 90 vacancies. And you know, when you're dealing with the kind of numbers that we're dealing with, you know, we hate to see I-40 not covered and I-10 not covered in certain areas. And to think that, you know, the cartels are not done to this. They're thinking, all right,
they know.
Check out at 1 o'clock. So yeah. We're going to start running.
That's what we'll make.
We're going to start running our stuff.
Yeah, we'll make our moves during the night. I mean, that's so obvious. Listen, before I let you go, Jeff, last time one of your people were with us on the show, there was an infrastructure problem with communication towers and everything. Did we get that ironed out at least?
We you know, in the 11th hour, we were able to get some legislators last year to step up and fund the southern area radios. But, you know, with the current budget scenarios that we're looking at, you know, they're looking to sweep money. So we're hoping that we purchase what we needed to purchase down there, or it literally was going to go black if we didn't get those towers replaced in southern Arizona. But they did fund it. But, you know, they're currently looking at exercises to try to sweep money. I hope they leave the $44 million that were set aside for southern area radio loop to be left alone. But time will show, and hopefully we've done our due diligence and we bought the equipment needed and we're starting to install. But
okay.
Yes, we appreciate your help last year on shining a light on, you know, the disrepair of our radio towers in southern Arizona was second to none. It was horrible.
Thank you, Jeff. Hopefully we shine now some light on your situation with getting more men and women into the ranks as troopers of the very important Highway Patrol. Thank you, Jeff Hawkins, very much. Hope you have a wonderful holiday, sir.
Thank you, too. Have a Merry Christmas, Bill. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. All right, let's talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. They're the home of the Danish Kringle. It's pretty easy this time of year when you talk about a Danish Kringle. That sounds like Christmas to me. Steve and the gang up at Mona's ready to not only give you Kringles, but anything you need for your holiday table, pies, rolls, they've got you covered. Oh, and did I mention all the Christmas cookies that they always roll out, the little boxes of the Christmas cookies filled with a lot of fun stuff. Mona's Danish Bakery.com. They are located open right now for lunch, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Shelley Fishman's with me in studio, and Shell's giving me a big thumbs up. That sounds good to me. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan to the RTA board by December. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
I've known the Chavez family for 35 years, and thanks to Chavez in 67, you won't find any soft, saggy cushions at the Buckmaster Bungalow. Chavez in 67 can restuff your cushions with new, firm, high-density foam. What a difference that makes. They also offer full upholstery services. Give them a call at 520-795-8032 or check out the website ChavezIn67.com.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through BuckmasterShow.com or at ShelleyFishman.com.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, I think we both were kind of shocked to hear that, like, Tucson, other than Tucson, Southern Arizona is uncovered after 1 a.m. in the morning on the freeway.
Time to go 110 miles an hour.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, we're having a pretty good day on the market, right?
We're having a good day on the market. We had one yesterday. We're having a good year on the market.
Mm-hmm.
So there are implications there for anybody who's an investor. If, let's just say you've got, you know, you're not retired and you've got the typical 70-30 mix, 70% equities and about 30% fixed income. Well, you know, if you've got a mix of NASDAQ and S&P and Dow, your 70-30 has changed because the gains in those three indices for the year will have thrown the proportions off. And now you don't have a 70-30 mix, you've got an 80-20 mix or an 85-15 mix. And what you might want to do is rebalance that.
Talk to your advisor.
Talk to your advisor, absolutely.
Hey, and the Fed chair, Fed's meeting right now, and I guess the Fed chair, I hope he's looking favorably, perhaps, on this year and where we are right now.
Well,
I don't know what he's thinking, but yeah.
And we'll know tomorrow. But
he won't give a press conference. How about that?
No, he will.
Of course.
The consensus is that the Fed's done for the year, doing any kind of rate changes. The interesting thing that we will listen to Mr. Powell for is the forecast for 2024. Economic prospects, and you know, just listening to some of the economic programs on the air this morning, the general consensus. Now there are some naysayers, but the general consensus is that growth will continue. There are some headwinds that we have to be aware of, but the economy is in pretty good shape. And what everybody is trying to, of course, understand is if the economy is in such good shape, how come people aren't feeling it?
How come people keep talking about the quote coming recession?
Well, there is a coming recession, Bill.
Someday, right?
Someday.
There will be one,
you know,
for sure.
Someday, yeah. You know, it's like death and taxes,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Or there will be an inflation.
It is going to happen.
There will be a recession. I think that this soft landing is kind of in the bag. Now, any number of things can go wrong. We've got two wars being fought out there. We've got missiles being hurled at commercial shipping in the Red Sea. You know, there's any number of things that could happen. Of course, in times of war, sometimes the economy does pretty well, but we'll have to see. The important thing for investors right now, it's the end of the year. In fact, it's a little late in the end of the year. It's time to do your review. Be really, really
vigilant.
Vigilant is a good word. I was trying to think of something stricter.
No.
with your financial advisor. This is not a time to say, oh, we had a good year. Well, let's just stay where we are, and next year will be better. What you want to do is have a plan. Part of that plan is the mix of investments that you have. And at the end of the year is a good time, first of all, if it's not an IRA account, it's a good time to harvest losses and get rid of some stuff that you might not want to pay taxes on or capital gains. So there are strategies there. But also, you know, we talk a little bit about end-of-year strategies. one of the things your financial advisor should be pounding his fist on the table about is do you have your final documents?
Yeah.
Now, you know, Bill, you wrote a great piece.
Thank you very much. And I urge all of my listeners, take a look at it. Go to TucsonSentinel.com. I did a opinion piece, well, traditionally known as an op-ed piece, and it hit TucsonSentinel.com, the online local publisher, yesterday, and it's very prominently displayed at TucsonSentinel.com. And my message, Shelley, was stuff's going to happen. Life is going to change. It can change in an instant, as I have discovered with the loss of Anne. Get your stuff together.
Right.
Get your act together.
And there's a lot of ways to do that.
This for years,
of course, there's a lot of ways to do that, and some of it is psychological preparation. Some of it is making sure that you're keeping up, you know, on your health and you know, controlling the things that need to be controlled. As a financial guy,
yeah,
you know, there is a set of documents that nobody wants to talk about. especially the younger you are, the less willing you are to talk about it, but you need to have these documents in place. You need to have given thought to what would happen if you know, something were to happen to you or your spouse or, mm-hmm. or partner. You need to understand how your children, if you have children or mm-hmm. grandchildren, are going to be taken care of.
Yes.
You need to understand if you have elderly parents, mm-hmm. How they're going to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't happen by itself.
No.
If you don't have those documents in place, guess who your executor is?
The state.
The governor. Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about documents that are called power of attorney.
Well, exactly.
Healthcare power of attorney. Mental health power of attorney.
There are
people don't want to think about this.
Because I'm going to live forever.
It is inevitable, folks. You are going to die.
Right. Bad stuff happens. It just
bad
does. And it's not just the documents you were saying. Having a will or a trust,
yes.
Understanding who your successor trustee would be,
mm-hmm.
or who your executor in the case of a will, understanding the problems of probate and how to avoid those problems, understanding exactly who your beneficiaries are, and understanding that the beneficiaries, understand where those documents are and how they are named in those documents. Understanding who might contest
mm-hmm.
Your documents and trying to head that off
yes.
in advance.
Good point. Good point.
Having what's called a durable power of attorney.
Yes.
So that should something happen, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning
mm-hmm.
when you're speeding at 110 miles
yeah.
an hour and you get into an accident and all of a sudden you can't make financial decisions for yourself,
mm-hmm.
who is going to make those decisions for you? And is that going to be the governor or your spouse?
I mean,
or a parent,
it's that
or a
simple.
Child.
Shelley, it boils down to that.
You've got to be prepared.
And so many people don't want to talk about it. Oh, it's the holiday season. For sure, I don't want to talk about it. We're all in let's all be merry. But bottom line is, it's a reality.
Right. So, don't do it between now and the end of the year. Do it on the 2nd of January.
Yeah.
You know, sit down with your financial advisor if you've got one. And have that discussion.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have one, go online. There are any number of places online where you can go and for very reasonable amounts of money get documents prepared for you
yes.
that are legal in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is it going to necessarily be as thorough a job as if you were sitting down with an estate attorney?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not. But at least it gets you there. It gets you started thinking about the process.
It opens the door to this,
absolutely.
You know. And it's not just the powers of attorney. It's the financial end of it. That's where your financial mm-hmm. advisor comes in.
Absolutely.
You know, what's going to happen
to
your
assets? And the financial
assets?
Advisor is part of the team.
The team.
So there is an estate attorney.
Yeah.
Clearly, the power. You don't want your financial advisor usually preparing those documents.
No.
But the financial advisor is part of the team. When you sit down with your attorney, your financial advisor should probably be there.
Yep.
You know.
I might add to bring into the conversation your CPA if you've got one.
Clearly. clearly.
You're certified public accountant, who,
absolutely,
by the way,
person
will
does
be
your taxes.
Yeah, Michael C. Flowers is mine. Mike's right. going to be on the show tomorrow.
Okay.
So you're right. I'm glad you characterized it that way. It is a team of folks.
Right.
And, you know.
And they're experts and you're not.
No.
Most of the time. Yeah. And they will be able to coach you into asking the right questions. Mm-hmm. One more thing before this, in terms of end of year stuff. Required minimum distributions.
Oh, yeah.
If you are over 72, mm-hmm. the rules have changed a little bit. It used to be 70 and a half. Now it's 71. At any rate, if you are required
yes.
to take a required minimum distribution from your IRA, 401k, any of those tax-advantaged and tax-deferred accounts, you must do it on time. And on time is the 31st of December.
Otherwise,
there's penalties. And the IRA, you know, will actually...
IRS.
The IRS, rather. The IRS
The Irish
is,
Republican
yeah,
Army
really,
will really come and get you.
But the IRS gets the documents that are filed by the people you have those accounts in. And, you know, from time to time, they actually look at those things. So
right.
it's really important that you understand what your obligations are for this year and what your obligations may be for next year, so you can do it not at the end of the end of the mm-hmm. year, but in a gradual way throughout the year.
All right, Shelley, we'll see you a week from today for our holiday edition of our Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Thanks, Shelley.
Thank you, Bill.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Tuesday edition, and we close in on Christmas very quickly here. Time to get over to Green Things, 3384 East River Road. They have so many different holiday decorations, including those really neat, the silver metal tin, I think it is, Christmas trees from Mexico at their sister business, Zocalo Village, which is part of Green Things and their 13-acre site, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com, open daily, 52nd or 53rd year of business. I've kind of lost track. And, of course, I've talked about it every day, the poinsettias. My poinsettias doing very well. Keep them watered every other day. From Green Things, of course, and they do add a little bit of holiday cheer to the Buckmaster Bungalow. All right, our live line for our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We thank them for sponsoring our phone interviews, and we're doing one of those right now with Pima County Supervisor. He is a Democrat, and he represents District number 1 on the 5-member Pima County Board of Supervisors. How are you, Rex Scott, Supervisor Scott?
Bill, I'm doing great, and I wonder if you'll allow me, before we get into the questions that you have, to, number one, wish you an early happy birthday, because I think your birthday is Saturday, right?
It is Saturday, yes. We've got a little bit of a lunch. We've got a breakfast plan with some friends, and then we've got a little bit of some other friends who are going to do a barbecue. So I will have plenty of company, which is wonderful. So I've got two activities that are planned on my birthday. And you know what's so shocking, Rex, Supervisor Scott, is a year ago we were having the big birthday celebration with Ann for my 75th birthday. And now
wow.
look what's happened. What can happen in a year? As I pointed out in the op-ed yesterday, life can change in an instant.
That was, Bill, I had the privilege of reading that column, and you shared so many valuable lessons and insights as a result of not just the loss of Anne, but the need for all of us to treasure every moment we have with those we love in the moment. I worked with a wonderful colleague when I was a principal. He was one of my assistant principals, and he would always admonish me to stay in the moment, stay in the moment. And I think that was a big theme of that column that you wrote in the Sentinel, and it's extraordinarily generous of you to share some of those lessons and insights from this sadness with the rest of us. I'm very grateful, and I'm sure the entire community is.
Yeah, not just to be prepared as best you can with the, and we just talked about that at length with Shelley about, you know, powers of attorney and the financial things,
right.
but be prepared mentally. And, you know, what I would give right now to have Ann walk in the door, my life would change. Not that we didn't have what some would call like a storybook or picture book relationship, but I would just savor every moment, every minute with her. And I think this living in the moment is very much goes back to Zen Buddhism or some of those traditions, Eastern traditions. Try to live every moment and not worry so much about yesterday. Yesterday's gone. and we don't know really what tomorrow is going to bring, Rex.
It's as somebody in our community who's also very wise said to me once, it's the difference between living life looking through the windshield as opposed to looking in the rearview mirror.
All right. We had a wide-ranging conversation with Jan Lesher, the Pima County Administrator, on the show Friday, and she had just put out the memo to you and the colleagues, your four other colleagues on the board. Right now it's you plus three other colleagues, but it has to do with asylum seekers. I think we were very surprised to learn, Dan Scheer was here with me, that now the numbers, Rex Scott, have gone from initially maybe 500 to 600 a day. They're up to almost 2,000 asylum seekers on some days in Pima County.
It is a surge that began in the late summer, started to climb in the fall, and we are really reaching its peak now. And as we make the transition from the Emergency Food and Shelter Program, which was the original program the Federal Emergency Management Agency used to reimburse border counties like ours for the costs of dealing with asylum seekers, to the new service and supports and shelter program, the SSP program, that program is not as robust in terms of the needs of counties like ours. And we are currently, we tapped into those funds earlier than we had planned. We were planning to start using them around the start of the year. We had to start using them, I believe, at the beginning of this month or late in November. We're augmenting them with some state funds that we get as the local public health authority. But unless Congress acts and the administration acts to make sure that we don't fall off a fiscal cliff, in terms of that funding, we're really only good until the end of February. So we are counting on our federal partners, not just in the Biden administration, but also both parties in the Congress to make sure that border counties such as ours are not holding the bag when it comes to dealing with the costs of federal immigration policy.
Any news on the filling the District 3 appointment, the Sharon Bronson seat?
Well, we had a forum last night, and it was sponsored by the League of Women Voters. It was online, and all eight of the people who have applied for the position participated in the forum. It was 90 minutes. There were questions from the board. There were questions from the community, and I have been meeting one-on-one with each one of the candidates to try and get a sense of what they would bring to the position in terms of serving and representing the people of District 3. And I'm also getting a lot of input, as you can imagine, from all kinds of people in the community on behalf of individual candidates. And all of that input, meeting with them, watching the forum, hearing from people in the community, all of that input is helping me to be able to reach a decision on December 19th when we will be voting on somebody to fill out the balance of Supervisor Bronson's term.
So the date then is December the 19th for the four of you, presumably the four supervisors, to vote on this.
That's correct. And under state law, the clerk has a vote in this process. And that actually happened back in, I believe, was the late 90s or early 2000s when Ray Carroll was appointed to take the seat of John Even, who had passed away in office.
Yes, I remember that.
It was a 2-2 vote, and the tie was broken by the clerk of the board at the time, Lori Gadoshian. We certainly would prefer, all of us, to not put our clerk in that position, but under state law, she does have a vote in this process.
Hmm. Will be very interesting. All right. Why don't we take the break here when we come back? Prosperity Initiative. We touched just kind of briefly on that with Jan Lesher. I'd like to hear your point of view on that and also about the important RTA meeting. But let's take our break right now. We'll be back with more with Pima County Supervisor representing District 1, Democrat Rex Scott.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is collected throughout Pima County and averages more than $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico makes a great holiday getaway. Victorian architecture now all lit up with beautiful Christmas lights. It's only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. I think you're going to enjoy it. It's a completely different experience than anything that you'll have here in Tucson. Their website is southwestnewmexico.org for information about what to do, all sorts of activities, and where to stay, some great places to stay. And there are really some great places to eat as well, some very heritage-type places. By heritage, I mean that have been around for decades. They're New Mexican cuisine. You know the question in New Mexico, do you want red or do you want green chili? And depending on your taste, but lots to do. It's a fun time of year in Silver City. All right, let's bring back now District 1 Pima County Supervisor Democrat Rex Scott. on our live line. And Supervisor Scott, we talked a bit with Jan Lesher Friday about the Prosperity Initiative. You're really excited about this, aren't you?
I'm tremendously excited, Bill. This is something that has been in the works for over a year, and it is the result of a lot of research and also a lot of outreach to literally hundreds of people in the community. And the result with the Prosperity Initiative is a policy framework that will help the board to guide our decisions about budgets and programs moving forward. And the overall goal is to take on generational poverty. And it's going to be the basis for all of our strategic planning. It's going to be a long journey, but it offers us a roadmap for how that journey will be conducted and how we will prioritize the needs of people who are dealing with generational poverty throughout our community. That should be an essential task, taking on generational poverty at all levels of government. But the Prosperity Initiative is going to help us to determine how we can best fight it locally.
Well, people have said this has been a poor town, low-wage town for years. I heard it when I was here the first time going to school at the UA in the late 60s, and then I heard it again when Ann and I returned in 1988, people saying, oh, it's just Tucson. The wages are very low. We've got to change that thinking, Rex Scott.
We absolutely do, and the best indicators of our success are going to be a rise in household incomes and a decrease in household costs. It's going to be those basic elements of success that are going to determine how well we're doing this work. And this is not a laundry list of programs. This is not a throw money at the problem strategic initiative. This is a policy framework that is really going to guide everything that we do, not just as a county government, but our partners in the Prosperity Initiative. You can see their seals on the document are all the cities and towns, the Pascua-Yaqui tribe, the Tohono O'odham Nation, and we're also going to be working with numerous community organizations throughout Pima County, because this has got to be an all-hands-on-deck approach. And that was what happened to put the Prosperity Initiative together, to actually implement it, to actually have it be a guide for all of our decisions and how they impact our constituents. We need to be working in partnership with every other public entity and private sector entity in the valley.
And all hands on deck, that's very appropriate for the board meeting that's coming up for the Regional Transportation Authority, a very important meeting. Understand that meeting, is that meeting coming up or did we already have it?
Oh, no, it was last Thursday, Bill.
Okay, all right. I hadn't heard much about it, so maybe you can, what happened?
Well, I'm proud to tell you about it because, once again, all nine of us, and as you know, I serve on the RTA board as the county's representative with the mayors of our five cities and towns, the chair of the Pascua-Yaqui tribe, the chair of the Tohono O'odham Nation, and General Maxwell, who is the governor's Southern Arizona representative of the State Transportation Board. And for what I think is at least the third or fourth time, all nine of us came together to move the RTA Next process forward. What happened was that we had two draft plans that were sent to us by the Citizens Advisory Committee. They couldn't agree on one of them. But they were very close to achieving consensus. So was the Technical Management Committee, which is the group of jurisdictional professionals that advises the Citizens Advisory Committee. So what we did on a 9-0 vote was we sent those two plans back to the Technical Management Committee. We instructed them to work to find a way to come up with a consensus plan. We instructed them to follow up with each one of the jurisdictions to determine for certain what their priorities were, especially their named corridor projects. And we also want them to take a look at geographic distribution, not just throughout the county, but also within each jurisdiction. Because the bottom line for all nine of us, Bill, is that we want to go back to the people that we represent and say, you need to support the RTA Next plan. And in order for all nine of us to do that, then there needs to be a reason for you to support RTA Next, regardless of where you live in Pima County. So I'm distinctly proud of the work that the Citizens Advisory Committee did dating back to 2018 to get us to this point. And I'm distinctly proud of the eight people that I'm privileged to serve with on the RTA board, because we are working in partnership, that all hands on deck approach that you mentioned, so that we can get a draft plan out for the public review process, which we expect to start shortly after the January RTA board meeting.
You said there was some a disagreement in one area. Could you elaborate a little bit on that one?
The disagreement was that they had the Citizens Advisory Committee had two draft plans. They were different in some of their components, and they couldn't agree on which of those two draft plans to move forward to us. So they moved both of them forward to us, and we sent both of those draft plans to the Technical Management Committee. We instructed them to follow up with all of the member jurisdictions to try and find a way to merge the elements of those two plans so that we could have one consensus plan. It's also important to point out that there is an informal working group of the Citizens Advisory Commission that is going to be meeting with the Technical Management Committee to help them get to that point of consensus. We feel that we're very close, but the board wanted to give some additional guidance and direction so that we can get it over the finish line.
What were some of the highlights? Can you share some of that?
It was differences, Bill, in terms of how much money would go into each one of the elements of the plan. So how much money would go into named corridor projects? How much money would go into transit? How much money would go into safety? How much money would go into active transportation? And also elements dealing with environmental measures such as wildlife linkages. So the two plans were very close, but there were some nuances between them that we are asking the Technical Management Committee, in partnership with the jurisdictions and in partnership with that informal working group from the Citizens Advisory Committee, to try and resolve. We feel we're very close. The entire board feels confident that we're going to get to a consensus plan. And the expectation is they'll present that to us at our January 25 meeting.
And the programs that were not able to be, that were fully funded but will not be completed before the current plan expires, those programs, those projects will get done.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. The entire board is committed to that, even if RTA Next did not pass, and that can't happen. But if it didn't, we are committed to using all local and other funds to ensure that those four projects that were part of the original RTA plan were moved to RTA Next because of a revenue shortfall, we are all committed to those being completed.
Are you staying in town for Christmas?
Definitely, yes. Our son, we have two kids. Our daughter lives here. Our son lives in Portland, and he is coming down from Portland to spend the holidays with us. So the four of us will be together, and we're really looking forward to that time.
Give everybody a big hug.
Thank you, Bill. I absolutely will. Thank you so much. And hugs to you and everybody that you're celebrating with. I know this will be a challenging holiday for you. I'm so grateful to you for sharing some of your lessons learned and all of the insights that you had to offer in that column in the Sentinel. I hope everybody will read it.
Thank you very much, and all the best to you, Rex Scott, this holiday season.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday.
And happy holidays.
Birthday boy coming. It's my birthday week. All right, thanks, Rex Scott. And on behalf of Supervisor Scott and John Engineering producing the program, Bill Buckmaster saying, hope everybody has a good afternoon.